Amen. Good morning. Once again, glad to be in the house of the Lord, to be with the people of God one more time. Very thankful for his working and dealings, not only in my life, but in the lives of all of us. Glad for salvation, sanctification, and his spirit. As always, I desire your prayers. I'm going to endeavor to please the Lord. I know he gave me this word, and I want to be able to deliver it in a way, be pleasing and honoring unto him, that will be a blessing to your soul. So please be praying for us. I appreciate the prayer that has always been prayed. The title of this discourse would be Vessel to Honor. Vessel to Honor. And as I was looking to the Lord for what he would have for me for this Sunday, he had given me something else, and I wrote it all the way out. And then the following day he gave me this, and he said, this is what I want you to have. And so by the help of the Lord, we're going to deliver what he's given us. This is going to be more than a one-parter. It's going to have at least two parts. But y'all be praying for us today. The title is Vessel to Honor. And so, according to Webster's dictionary, a vessel is a container. It can be a cask, a bottle, a vase, a cup, a bowl, something that carries something, right? And then I found this interesting. They're also in Webster's dictionary, it defines a vessel as a person to whom the quality of grace is infused. Amen. I didn't know Webster's knew that. Amen. We're going to be talking about being a vessel unto honor. So a vessel is something that something is put into, it carries it around, and then it is used to pour out. For example, if there's a cup or something, a bowl, you put something in that thing, it carries that thing, and then it is pouring out onto something else. And so the question is, what value, or where is the value in a vessel without its contents? Okay? What good is a vessel with nothing in it, nothing to give, nothing to pour out? May the Lord help us. What value? It doesn't have much value. And so what God has done is he has made you and me, and be praying for this morning, but God has made you and I, and he has made us what's called living creatures. We are the children of the Most High God, and he made us, and he made us with a purpose. Our purpose is to be vessels, not only vessels, because we're already that, but we are to be vessels unto honor. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy 2 and 20. It's going to talk about two types of vessels. All right, and I want you to get a hold of what the writer is talking about when he's talking about these vessels. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, no, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20. It says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, all right, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And so there's two basic types of vessels. It talks about the vessel that is to honor, and then it talks about the vessel that is to dishonor. All right. And so you and I, as people of God, we want to be ready and willing. We want to be submissive to the will of God. We want to be a vessel unto honor. We're already made, and we're going to talk about that. But a vessel that is to honor, and notice that it talks about there's gold, there's silver, there's wood and earth. It doesn't matter what kind of vessel God has made you. Be thankful for what he has made you, and then be ready to be used for his will and purpose. God wants to pour into us His will and His purpose in this life. Every single day we have a job to do, and that is to be a vessel unto honor. God has something for you and for me to do, but we have to be, because we are living, we could resist, we could go against what God's will is, and then we'll become what's called a vessel to dishonor. Do you understand? We won't be pleasing and honoring unto God. So some people, they understand that they are vessels, but they don't want God's will to be done in them. They want their own will. They want their own way. They're not ready to serve God with all diligence. They are proud. They are not humble and submissive to the will of God. And so that's how we become a vessel to dishonor. But I want to encourage you this morning to be a vessel unto honor. Whatever God has made you, sometimes we devalue what it is that God has made us. Notice it talked about gold and silver. It talked about wood. And then it talked about earth. And sometimes the wooden vessel is looking over at the golden vessel and saying, I'm not as good as that vessel. And so I don't appreciate what God or how He made me. And so I'm not going to serve Him. I'm not going to do what He wants me to do, because I would like to be that gold vessel. Do you understand? But do you understand, if somebody needs some water, it don't matter if it come out of a gold cup or a wooden cup. Don't matter. As long as you need that water, you get that water, you'll be all right. You understand? And so God sees us in that way. And many times He makes us according to what we can handle as human beings. I can't handle anything more than what He has made me. If I was more excellent in terms of looks or strength or intelligence or whatever it is it might be, how could I handle that? I got a big head trying to handle what I got now by the help of the Lord. I got to seek to be humble with what I got now. And so what God has made you, value what He has made you. Be glad for what He has made you. It fits what you can handle. And then let God use you in terms of what He would have you to do by the grace and help of God. This is what we want to be. We want to be a vessel unto honor. All right. And so first of all, I want to talk about the first thing. And we talked about it a little bit. Turn with me to Genesis 2 and 7. By the grace and help of God. This is a scripture that all of us are very keenly aware of. But we want to read this scripture in relation to the fact that God has made us. He made all vessels. He made them how He wanted to make them. And so one of the big things that God has blessed me with in my salvation and going along this way, I've come to the place where I am happy with what God has done in and concerning me. May the Lord help us. I am no longer looking at the wooden vessels or the golden vessels or the silver vessels or the earthen vessels, whatever it might be. I don't care about any of that. God, I'm glad for who You made me. And Lord, I'm going to work with that as You allow me. All right. And so it says here in Genesis 2 and 7, and it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we are earthen vessels in terms of we have become what God has made us to be. We are living souls. And so when you take a glass or a bowl or whatever it is, it has no life to it, right? And so if you wanted to pour something in it, then it has no say in the matter. It can't reject what you're doing. But when it comes to God and when He has, how He has made us and what He has made us into, in order for us to be vessels unto honor, we have to first understand that He made us. And so it's Him that we wouldn't even be here unless He made us. He made us, and then do you imagine that if He made us, that He has a will and a purpose for our lives? If He's the one that made us, right? If you are a potter and you've got some clay and you're making something, you want to make a bowl, you want to make a vase, you want to make a glass, you're making it for a purpose. Does that make sense? And so the first thing we have to do as children of God is understand who God made us is what He wanted to make us, and He had a will and a purpose in that. And so the bowl is going to do something different than the vase is going to do, right? The vase is going to hold the flowers, right? And the bowl, it may hold the soup so you can eat the soup out of it or whatever it is you put in there. And then the glasses, you're going to pour the water or the drink in there and it's going to pour out, right? Different purposes, but all for the will of God. All right. And so what we have to understand is he made us with a will and a purpose in mind. But the fact is that because we have a will and we have the ability, if we want to resist or reject the will of God, then what can happen is we can, even though God made us to be a vase, we can reject that and we say we don't like that. And so therefore, we can hinder the will and the work of God in our lives. May God help us. We want to be a vessel unto honor. Lord, what did you upload? First of all, you made me to how you wanted to make me for whatever purpose it is that you wanted to make me. Now, Lord, I'm seeking your will and your purpose in my life. If it's to hold these flowers, if it's to hold this soup so somebody can get some sustenance, if it's to carry this liquid, this water of life that I may sprinkle and pour it out on others, Lord. Lord, help me to be willing to do that by the grace and help of God. This is how we become and remain vessels unto honor. We have to be willing to accept and acknowledge the fact that God made us, who he made us, what he made us for, and then seek his will and purpose in that and be willing to do it by the grace and help of God. May the Lord help us. In contrast, the enemy did not make us.
Amen.
All right? And so you'll see this a lot in these days and times. May the Lord help us. Some people have a misunderstanding. They don't know that God is real. They don't know that God made them. And so therefore, when the enemy comes in and he starts telling them, and this is an extreme case, but there's all different forms of this. The extreme case would be God made you a man and you think you're a woman or vice versa. And the enemy comes in and he begins to work with the mind in those ways. All right. That's the extreme. That's the most extreme form that I know of rejecting the will of God in your life. You were clearly made who God made you to be. That's clear to you. You know that. But somewhere along the way, you have come to a misunderstanding, and now you began to seek to live in a way that is completely opposite and different than from what God has made you. There are many lesser forms of that, but it's all within the same spirit. May the Lord help us. What God made you to be is a child of God. He made you to walk and to talk like Christ Jesus. He made you to live in a way that be pleasing and honoring unto him. That's what he made you to do. And so any resistance of that, whether it be you don't want salvation or whether it be in salvation, you don't want to do what God wants you to do, may the Lord help you and I to be willing to lay that down and say, Lord, help me. I'll do what you want me to do. You the one made me in the first place. Heavenly Father, may the Lord help us. We have to come to that place. If not, we'll be in rebellion. We'll be in resistance. Lord, you made me a bowl and I wanted to be a glass. Lord, you made me silver and I wanted to be gold. And so, Lord, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. May the Lord help us. God can help us with this. And the enemy's going to be right there and say, look at how the Lord is blessing that person. Look at the Lord, how the Lord is using that person. And so therefore, you should be upset about that. You should be envious. You should be covetous. And now the will of God is hindered in your life before you even know what his will is in your life. May the Lord help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I'm willing to let somebody else be used of the Lord. May the Lord bless Brother Tavis and any other minister and pastor in a great way. It don't have to be me, Lord. But Lord, when it's my turn, let me be a vessel unto honor. You understand? I didn't want to be a preacher or a minister, and that's the God's honest truth. But I'm learning and have learned this is what God has chosen for my life. And so, Lord, help me to embrace it and warm to that task and go with that by the help of the Lord. And if you can't do a lot, God knows you can't do a lot. Did you know that a small vessel, you can't put a whole lot in it? If it's a little thimble-sized vessel, you put a little bit of water in it and pour a little bit of water out as you get a chance. Then you get refilled again. Some people are like that, and God knows that. God knows that. He said he gave some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Then he said also likewise, one got 5 talents, one got 2, and one got 1. Use what God has given you and then get a refill. May the Lord help us. Vessel unto honor. God made us. That's the first thing we need to know. And if it's him that made us, then we have to understand that he did it for his will and his purpose. Now we begin to seek his will and purpose in our life through salvation. We got to start with salvation. But once you're saved, Lord, what is your will and your purpose in my life? And Lord, you made me in the first place. Otherwise, I wouldn't be what I am. Now let me do what your will is for me. May the Lord help us. We can't all be vases either. Just sit there and look pretty. May the Lord help us. Lord knows all about it. All right, so second thing is this, all right? So remember that the enemy, if God does something, the enemy is going to come against it. He's going to do all he can to hinder. And I want you to understand something. God talked to me specifically about this. Some of us are not going to get unsaved. That's not going to happen. We don't want to be unsaved. We know what's out there in the world. We know what the devil's got going on. We see how folks is getting beat up and messed off. And so we say, you know what? I ain't doing that. But we're balking at the, I shouldn't say balking because that's not a good analogy for this. We got the brakes on. We got the brakes on in terms of God is trying to get us to move forward and be a vessel unto honor, and we are resisting him every step of the way. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. I want to encourage you. The enemy is involved in that. There's self that'll get in the way. May the Lord help us to get rid of it. Any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. All right. But then also and likewise, the enemy wants to work with that to ultimately destroy us, or at least, you know that the enemy, did you know that the enemy will take a partial victory? Oh, you with me now? You wake up and pay attention by the help of the Lord. You saved, but you doing the bare minimum to be pleasing and honoring unto God. You got a list of what it is that's going to get you in heaven, and the bottom of that list, you're just going to aspire to the bottom of that list. Would that be, you think that's, it's good that you're saved, but don't God need somebody to use? Don't he need somebody to strengthen and empower and go forth for him? And what is the devil? The devil's happy with that. He wants you to take your light and hide it under a bushel. Yeah. Remember that song? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. You understand? And so what he does is, he said, well, I can't get them to go back in the world. So what I'll do is I'll just hinder God's will and purpose in their life, and I'll hold them back. And that way I'll take that partial victory. May the Lord help us. Okay? We not giving the devil nothing. Amen. At all. He gets nothing. It's too dangerous. And it's not spiritually healthy. May the Lord help us. Find the Lord's will in your life. Recognize that he loves you. He made you. He has a will and purpose in your life. Do not give the enemy a partial victory. All right. So he makes us. What's the second scripture that we want to talk about? Somebody go with me. 1 John 1:7. We're going to read down through verse number 9. The second thing is that he cleans us. What good is a dirty vessel? Okay. What good is a dirty vessel? Somebody come up to you with a cup of water and you see little swirlies at the bottom. Huh? Give some swirlies. They say, here, you can drink this. Got some swirlies in it. and you say, hey, wait a minute, it look like something. You know how you do, you take the glass and you do it like this. And you try to, you know, the waiter, waitress come up to you and give you that. You say, I see some thumb marks on this deal, on the inside of this cup, no less. I see some little swirlies at the bottom. And what if they said to you, what if they said, now go with me here, because I'm going somewhere here. But they said to you, well, it's just a little bit of a smudge. It's a little dirt in that vessel. You'll be all right. Would you want that water? Of course not. How does that apply spiritually? How does that apply? You understand? We need God to cleanse us completely. Because what we're doing sometimes, may the Lord help us, we are not clean like we need to be, and we're trying to offer somebody some dirty water. May the Lord help us. Now, God's able to cleanse us to the uttermost. All right? He's able to do that. But nobody wants to hear about the gospel, to hear about the truth, but in your life, they can't see the workings of the gospel and the workings of the truth in your life. May the Lord help us. So Lord, help us to, once we recognize and realize that we are to be a vessel unto honor, that God made us and he made us with a purpose, Lord, I want you to clean me up and I want you to clean me up spotless. I want to be to, now listen, to all you know and understand. You cannot clean something to a point where you don't see, you understand? If you don't see it, you can't clean it. You understand what I'm saying? And so the Christian's responsibility is to live to all they know and understand. If your salvation is not moving in that direction, then ask the Lord to help you with that and do something about that. Because the Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanseth. Amen. And so you can be clean. All right. And so he made you with a purpose and he wants you to be clean. So therefore, when you are attempting to give somebody the truth of God's word, that living water, may the Lord help us. They'll be willing to receive it because it's coming from a clean vessel. May the Lord help us. This is what God wants. And so let's read. Somebody, if you have that, 1 John 1:7, and I want you to skip 8 and go down to verse number 9. If you have that for us, please read. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to pause there. I'm going to get verse number 9 in a moment, and then we'll touch on 8 as well. All right, so it says here that there's a responsibility to the vessel. All right, what is light? Anybody know what light is in this scripture? What is it talking about? It's talking about truth, right? So when something comes to my life, comes to my knowledge, to my understanding, and it says, And there's a disparity. How I'm living is not in agreement with this light that is being presented to me. I'm not talking about nothing new. Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It's all in here. So you can cross-reference the light that you're receiving with the word of God. If it ain't in here, it just ain't in here. Leave it alone. But if it's in here and maybe you are unaware, or maybe God is dealing with it. So what God does is he deals with us and he leads us gently along. Amen. He does. Right? And so he doesn't put everything on us all at once. He sees where we are weak. He sees where we need to grow and get better. He understands that. But sometimes until we get this handle right here, he will hold back on this, what we need, because we're still dealing with this. That's how God is. All right? And so what happens is, as you grow, the Bible says, grow in what? Grace and what else? Knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what ends up happening is, I've been growing in grace and knowledge, and now my knowledge has come to a point where I've got a better understanding of what is being required of me, the vessel. And so now I've got a responsibility to walk in that light. Lord, help us. I can't reject that. I can't say, well, I don't want to do it, Lord. I can't say that. You know what? You can't say that. I don't want to do it, Lord, but Lord, I know it's right. Now I want you to help me to want to do it, and then do it with a good attitude. May the Lord help us. Because you're going to come to places where you don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. But you know that if you're going to get it to heaven, if you're going to be like he wants you to be, then you're going to have to give those things up, and you're going to have to measure up to the light that you have been exposed to. May the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us. And so he come to the place, it says, you walk in the light as he is in the light. What ends up happening is you have fellowship one with another, and then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You can come to a place where, Lord, before, heretofore, I've had trouble, in my life. I'm not where I need to be. And I'm bringing that to you in an altar of prayer, wherever that may be. And I'm asking you, Lord, to take this away from me and cleanse me and make me every whit whole. I want to be all that you want me to be. And God is able to do that. Let's go to verse number 9 and read there, please. All right. So now this is the solution. For us, if we want to be clean, go ahead, confess our sins. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and clean us up from all unrighteousness. And so one of the things that hinders a person that would be saved and that is not is they don't want to confess it and they don't want to forsake it. The Bible teaches us to confess and forsake. And so a lot of religions, if you're not careful, a lot of religions, they want you to confess all kinds of things. And I'll tell you at another time why they like that. Lord, help us. But you confess to God and you forsake to God your sins. You say, Lord, this is what I've done wrong. He already knows anyway. That's the best part about it. And honestly, many people that are in heaven now, when they first got saved, they did not go to an altar of prayer like these. This is an opportunity and a blessing to have these here, but you can literally bow on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. You can forsake your sins and he will, the Bible says he's what? Faithful to forgive us all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the Lord help us. And so God's able to do that, but in order to be a vessel unto honor, sometimes we don't want to go through that process. We see what is good and we see what is right. And so instead of going through that process, we'll just start doing what is good and what is right. Will that work? You can't, it's unsustainable. The change must be from the inside. The change is what powers the life. You understand? When God deal with your heart, when he's at an altar of prayer, when he save you and he forgive you, confess and forsake your sins, and he began to work and deal with you in all the secret places in your life, that is what powers the work that's going to be done going forward. May the Lord help us. We cannot, of our own self, clean our own selves, and we can't stay clean because that's the working of God Almighty. He's the one that does it. But we can confess, we can forsake, and we can be honest with the Lord, and God will work with that and help us to get where we need to be by the grace and help of God. It says here in verse number 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Enemy is making a killing and beating people to death on that one right there. And the way that he does, he don't say that you don't got no sin. He just say, well, I'm just as good as you. You know, talking to the saved person. I'm just as good. I'm going to heaven too. That's what people say. Not according to the Bible. Bible says all have sinned and come short. So if you have sinned, you need deliverance. You need to be saved. Amen. All right? And so may the Lord help us. You don't hear a lot about that, but it's true anyhow. All right? It's true anyhow. May the Lord help us. So it says in verse number 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We deceive our own selves. So may the Lord help us to be careful to not only get clean if we're not clean, but by the grace and help of God, we got to stay clean, because the Lord wants to use us as vessels unto honor. All right, so step one, he made us. Step two, he cleans us. Step three, he begins to fix us. Luke 4 and 18. And this is a lot of times where people get impatient. The Bible says, in your patience do what? Possess ye your souls. Sometimes the brokenness that we're dealing with and what we have gone through in life, we get tired of the waiting process because it's not always a simple thing to get the healing and the help that we need. The reason for that is it's not God's power that's lacking. It's never on God's side. It's always on us and what we're willing to allow the Lord to help us with. I'm reminded, I've told this story before, I've run up on people. Some little girl had broke her leg real bad. It was deformed. You can see it, the break in the leg. And the first obstacle that we had was to be able to gain a rapport with this young girl to the point where she'll let us touch her. We can't lift her. We can't get her in the ambulance. We can't adjust the injury and put it back in line so that she can get out of so much pain. You can't do any of that until you have that rapport with that patient. And so the reason why I bring that up is because this scripture is letting us know what God wants to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And we'll talk about what that does to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. God wants to fix us where we need fixing. And I know people, some people don't, they say, I don't need no fixing. Nobody need to feel. I'm fine. That's what they say. You know it, and other people know it too. You need some fixing. May the Lord help. You spend some time in sin, you need some fixing. You're just a human being anyway. You done gone through some things that have been traumatic to you. You need some fixing. It's okay to acknowledge and admit that you need to be fixed. It's okay. God knows that. And that's why he sent his son to do all of these things and more for us. All that God can do for us is not embodied in this scripture. There's many, many things that God can do for us. But he's letting us know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What does preaching gospel do? Gospel is the truth of God's word, is it not? And so what it does is it begins to dispel the lies that have been interwoven and we've been indoctrinated with all of our lives. Lies about ourselves, lies about God, lies about our fellow man. There are lies that bind people that they can't get beyond and they can't get to God because of it. One of the big, and this is a big push right now, one of the big things that is pushing suicide is lies. Yeah. It's hopeless. If you could end it all right here. You know, these are lies. Nobody loves you. Nobody. There's 8 billion people on this earth, but nobody loves you. There is no God, or if there is, he don't love you. These are lies from the enemy. You see, and nobody's talking about it, so I'm going to talk about it. The gospel is the truth of God's word, and it dispels those lies. It does away with those lies. Somebody do love you. If there are real Christians on the earth, and there is, they love you and they don't even know you. Because they got the love of God deep down in their hearts. May the Lord help us. So they love you. And there is hope and there is help. If things can get bad, they can get good. That's logical. You ain't got to be smart to understand that. If things can go the wrong way, they can go the right way. What are we doing that is causing this or that? Sometimes we don't want to look at that. May the Lord help us. And I'm going to get close here. All right? You pray for me. Because I need the Lord to help me too. Here's the thing. There are things that we can do in the extreme. Many times I've noticed, because this is what I do, the alcohol, the drugs, that's a big part of the promiscuity. That's a big part of what's happening with these people that are in these conditions. These people are in hopeless conditions. Listen, I get it. It's not the alcohol or the drugs or the promiscuity that's the problem. And stay with me. What it is, you're running from the solution. That's the problem. Amen. You can't find your healing in the drugs and the alcohol and the promiscuity or whatever it is, the porn. I'm gonna talk about all of it. All of those things, you can't find what you need in those things. So that is the problem. I've got this broken heart. I've got this poor self-esteem. I've got this whatever it is that I'm going through, all these problems and issues, and I'm running to these things instead of running to God. The gospel can work on all of those things. May the Lord help us. Amen. All right? And so the truth is, God is love. The truth is, God will fix you. God will help you. That's what the truth is. And so you have to take your living vessel, if you're going to be a vessel of honor, to the one that can help you and lay it at his feet. Lord, I've had this problem ever since I've ever known myself or anyone else, and I can't seem to fix it. I need you to help me to fix it. And God can do it. It says he has preach the gospel to the poor. Yes, sent me, heal the brokenhearted. You can't heal your brokenhearted, and can't nobody else either. Why promiscuity? Why all of these different relationships? Because my heart is broken, and I'm seeking someone else other than God to heal it. All right? And so I'm going and I'm looking for love, and I'm not going to find it there, because the love is broken heart. Think about it. Maybe you find real love and it's extended to you, but your heart is broken. What's going to happen? Seep right on out, isn't it? And then you get even more depressed. Man, I missed my opportunity. That person, they really loved me. They really cared about me. And I couldn't even. And the devil's right there, isn't he? Yeah, you sure are messed up. You ain't gonna never be better. On and on and on and on. Heal the brokenhearted. Lord, I need my vessel. If Lord, you keep trying to pour into me, but I got a crack in my vessel, and it keeps seeping out before I can get to somebody else and give them some of your love. Help us, Lord. I need you, Lord, to heal me. Heal my broken heart. God has come to do that. He fixes us. He makes us. He cleans us. He fixes us. He wants to use us. There's a purpose and a will. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're saved. I don't care if you're not saved. I'm telling you now, when you were born, God had a will and purpose for your life. And I'm telling you right now, if you haven't before, I want you to do it now, starting today, by the grace and help of God. Find out what God's will and purpose is for your life and begin moving in that direction, starting with salvation. May the Lord help us. So it says here, heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. What is binding you? Sometimes there are not, when it's talking about captives, most of the time this scripture is talking about people that are bound by things that you cannot see. All right? There are things in the mind, things in the heart, that when a person is bound, when they are in chains, they are unable, even though they would, they'd like to, they want to be helpful, they want to be loving, they want to be kind, they want to be like God would have them to be, but they are bound. All right? And so when God calls upon them to do something, to take some of the love that he's going to pour into them and pour it out on somebody else, they can't do it. It's not that they don't want to. They can't. They're literally bound. All right? God has the ability to go to what that is binding you. I don't know what it is in you. I know what it was with me. There were certain mindsets and thoughts and ideas that I had that would hinder me not only from being a loving fellow man, but loving God too. I couldn't love him like I needed to. I was bound by unforgiveness. Yeah. Yeah. And so therefore, I'm not about to let you get close to me. Are you serious? You get close to me. Matter of fact, I don't care if you love me or not. I ain't sure about that. So let me give you a swift kick in the right direction just in case. Because I don't know you getting too close. You understand what I'm talking about? A swift kick. You know what I'm talking about when I'm saying that? Some words, some action that would, they're getting too close and they're almost getting to my close place, and I don't need nobody in my close place. And so let me say something. Listen, this could help you understand some people sometime. This could help you understand yourself. Why do I do that? Why do when somebody extend true love to me and be kind to me, why do I push them away? I find something to say or do to hurt them because they're getting a little bit too close. And I'm bound by this unforgiveness. Somebody did me wrong, and I promise you, I don't care if they die, I'm not going to forgive them. You can't get to God like that, and you can't get to your fellow man like that. And so you are, what you have, the walls that you have built are not only keeping others out, but they are keeping you in. May the Lord help us, even God. Lord help us. Lord help us. Lord have mercy upon us in a special way. All right, so it says here, he's come to fix us, to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovery of sight to the blind. How can I fix something that I don't see? Sin and the world has a way of affecting the way that you see things. You talk to your loved ones and you're amazed by the blindness or the misunderstandings that they have. The devil is beating you to pieces on a daily basis and you still can't see that you need the Lord. But something happens to the eyes. Remember, and we talked about it this morning, something happens when we become into captivity to the world. We come into captivity to Satan. The first thing he'd like to do is to poke them eyes out like he did with Samson. You be strong as you want to. If you can't see me, how you gonna get me? And so when you and I, we love the world or we go back out into sin or we refuse God's love, what ends up happening is the blindness is coming in a spiritual way. Okay? And we can't even see correctly in order to begin to approach the problem, let alone look for a viable solution. Okay? This is what the enemy does. So even when we get saved, and I want you to listen in and listen up here, may the Lord help us. Even when we get saved, sometime we need the Lord to, he has taken the scales from our eyes. But like the sister was talking about with the injury to her eyes, there's still some lingering effects sometimes. And we have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to help me to fix how I see things. For example, if I had a daddy that was abusive to me, then I may have a problem not only with men, but authority in general. But the problem is, God gave us authority and he gave us men as well. It's part of his order and how he set things up. And so now we're in rebellion against these things, and maybe the help that I need is, it might be coming from the pastor who just happens to be a man, and I can't hear what the pastor is saying because my eyes are the effects of what I've been through. I'm injured, and so I can't see things properly, and so therefore I'm unable to, even though I'm hearing it and it sounds right and the Spirit is witnessing that this is true, I can't receive it because I can't quite see it that way. We need fixing. We're saved. We still need fixing. That's okay. The best part about this is God is willing to do all of these things. Remember, he made you. He's got a will and a purpose for you. Even if you go out and become broken and dirty and unclean and unrecognizable, do you know that the God of all gods will take you in his potter's hands? He will crush you up. He'll add the water to you and put you back on the wheel and make you again. May the Lord help us. He's able to do that. Fix all the cracks. Get all the dirt out of it. Put that heat to it. Make it something that look good. When you pour something into it, when it's poured out, it tastes good. May the Lord help us. God can do that. Only he can do that. Stop trying to do it yourself. Let him do it. May the Lord help us. Let him fix you. He's able to do that. I'm encouraged and inspired by that. May the Lord help us this morning. Almost finished here. It says to set at liberty them that are bruised. We're talking about things where you've had a level of healing, but you're not completely healed. You need liberty to do those things. We kind of talked about that with the bondages, those that are bound. So let's finish up here. May the Lord help us encourage our hearts. Before I quit and forget, I'm going to say this. And number two, vessel to honor number two, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about him pouring into us and then teaching us what and who and when and how much to pour out. All right. And then we're going to talk about providing that will again. We got to be willing to do it because we're vessels unto honor, but we're living vessels. Right. And so we're going to talk about that will again. And then lastly, we're going to put on repeat, giving the praise and the glory and the honor unto him and staying in that place. Because if you pour something out, then what? Going to need some more, ain't you? And so that's going to be on repeat. We're going to need the Lord have you ever got to the place where you're praying for someone, you're laboring with someone, you got a care and a concern and a burden for someone, and you've come to the end of what you have, you need the Lord to give you some more. And God can do that for us because we're a vessel. Can't do it if we got a leak in it. Can't do it if we're dirty and unclean. Can't do it if we're not even willing to do it in the first place. But we can do it by the grace and help of God if we stay in a place of humility before him, recognizing that the graces within are not mine. Turn to song number 147. I am only an earthen vessel. And I want you to read for me, if you beat me there, the graces within are not mine. For the love and the power and the glory belong to the Savior divine. That's the last verse. I want you to understand that when the vessel that we are, that God is making us into through his cleansing, through his choosing, what kind of vessel we are, on down through the healing of our brokenness, that vessel God wants to use. He wants to pour into us. He wants us to pour out where he wants us to pour out, and then he wants us to pour into us again. Sometimes when we are empty, though, we have the ability and the mind to begin to get puffed up and proud and admire not what the Lord did, but what we did. walking around here with our chest stuck out, strutting along. Lord sure did use me that time, amen. Are they really giving the praise to God? Or are they really thinking, who's the subject of that sentence? Me or the Lord? See what I'm saying? It should be the Lord, but it's really me. When I preach a good message. I'll tell you. And I'm going to sit down. I had experience more than once with that problem. Messed around, got big-headed. Thought I was doing the preaching. Being honest. Didn't work out well at all. I'm glad nobody didn't sit me down, but they should have. Lord, help us. You might not know because the Lord can still work, but I know that I wasn't where I need to be. And the Lord dealt with me about that. And so we put that on repeat. Lord, you've cleansed me, you've chosen me, you've made me into what you want to be, you've fixed me. Now, Lord, pour into me, Lord. And when you tell me to pour out, tell me who to pour it out on, how much to pour it out on. And then, Lord, when I'm getting close to empty, because I just refuse to be empty. I encourage you, never be empty. You can get, God has an endless supply. Amen. Lord, give me some more. Matter of fact, I try to treat it like I treat my vehicle. We're not going under half. Not what we do. Might get caught in some traffic, might have some emergency, not doing that. Get down to half, I need a little bit more, Lord. May the Lord help us. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayer for me. My goal and aim is to be a vessel unto honor. Not just a vessel, not a vessel to dishonor, but a vessel unto honor. If you're having struggles in any of these areas, if the Lord talked to you today, I wanted you to be encouraged that God has what you need. If you're broken, he'll fix you. If you need to be clean, he'll clean you. If you need help with your will and being willing to be used, he'll help you with that. And anything else you may have, God's able and ready, and he's willing to do all of these things and more by his grace. Thank you for your time, your attention, your prayers for me, my goal and aim. Make heaven my home. Not going alone. I want to see you on the other side. Lord willing, I'll be there. You be there too. In Jesus' name.